get into the message this morning as we turn to Matthew chapter 25 this morning, which will be the basis of our message today. But as we're turning to Matthew chapter 5, let's just remember, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Oh, lackluster in the middle somewhere there. I don't know where it was. I don't want to blame anybody. Let's try it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
Oh, full there. I love that. Look at your neighbor and say, rejoice. Sometimes we need to be told that and we need to be reminded because, let's be honest, every now and then we see Christians, and what are they doing? They're walking around, they're grumpy, they're crabby, they're complaining. We are very critical people at times. Oh, my goodness. Matter of fact, as I was writing my notes, I thought, Adam, this sounds very critical of grumpy, crabby, critical Christians. I thought, well, it is, but I'm just tired of looking around and seeing that. You know, I'm thinking, man, you do not represent, not you, but people that are like that, don't represent my God, my Father, my hope. And we should be walking around with a different look on our face and a different feeling in our heart. Man, that doesn't mean that life is perfect for us, but it means we have a different hope that is within us. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I love that. Last week's message, I talked about ready or not. The king is coming. He's coming back, and he's coming at an hour that we don't know. A day and a time that we don't know. He's coming, ready or not. I called a young man several months ago, interviewed him for a job position up in Tulsa at our Tulsa store. At the time, it just wasn't going to work out. My boss called me into his office, said, why don't you call your friend, see if he wants a job. I texted and said, hey, can you talk? He said, not now. I'm tied up, but can I call you later? I said, yes. That was on January 23rd. He passed away January 30th. I thought, man, I found out a week later. Hey, are you there? Are you there? No, nothing. We don't know the day and the time. We don't know. He comes when he desires. And it says not even the angels in heaven know that time. Not even the angels in heaven know the date and the time. We don't know that. He's coming, listen carefully, he's coming no matter where our maturity is in our faith walk. Well, I'm just a beginner. You didn't give me time. I gave the reference to hide and seek. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you say, ready or not, here I come. You didn't proclaim it loud enough for me to hear that you were coming for me. Or I said, sometimes I just stand, you got me. I didn't want to play anymore. Today's message is called The Faithful One. The Faithful One. He's coming, ready or not. Where are we at in our faith walk? Are we maturing it? Are we not? I've told you guys a story before. When Austin had a seizure as a baby about a year old. And, you know, I thought he was dying there on our living room floor. And I ran to the closet and I got my shoes on. And I'm wearing black socks and some slip-on shoes. I'm wearing black gym shorts and a white dirty t-shirt because I was out mowing. Cindy's in the ambulance going to the hospital. And I'm going to the closet to get my shoes on. I said, God, please, I just started going back to church. Please don't take my son. He's coming ready or not, no matter what age. I was a little immature at that time in my faith walk. I was just coming back to church after being gone for many years. But I sure as heck wanted to try and bargain for a life. God, please, please don't take my youngest son from me. This happens in relationships with other people. When circumstances change, Lord, I will be more faithful to you. Honey, husband, wife, whatever. When circumstances get better, I'll treat you better. I'll be better around the house. I'll whatever. It's based on circumstances. When they change, I will be or I will get better. God is looking for people that lead, that persevere, that overcome, no matter what the circumstances are. Faithful in work, faithful in marriage, faithful in the church. He's looking for people that are faithful no matter what, so that he can use them and bless them. The Bible is full of stories of people. Do you think, oh my goodness, he picked them? Let's be honest, we do the same thing. Oh my goodness, you picked him or her? Oh, Lord. Lord, you picked me? The Bible is full of people that are imperfect, that he uses. People that are weak, that he uses because they're strong through him and by him. Not on their own. And they recognize that. Weak, broken, outcast people throughout the Bible. So Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. And right before we get there, don't turn there, but I just want to remind you of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Quite a list to be good at all of those. And it says that's the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit. It says that's one thing we should have and obtain, or obtain and have and keep and utilize those fruit of the Spirit characteristics in our own life. I better read that list once more in case I went through it too fast and you didn't hear it. Love. Oh my goodness, it starts with a tough one. I got to love them. We can all love the lovable, the Bible tells us. But when we show love to the unlovable or the outcast or the weaker. Love. Joy. Regardless of our circumstances. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Peace, long-suffering, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The one I confessed last week I struggled with in Dollar General trying to find snacks that were healthy. And I grabbed a bag of Funyuns. Here we go. I'm done. 15 minutes of searching, and that's what I grabbed. Self-control. It's tough. In all circumstances, faithfulness is in there. It should be part of our Christian makeup and character. Just like the mirror that's in our heart that reflects his love coming in and it shines out to you and it radiates from within. Because he first, what? Loved us. Now, Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. We've read this before, and it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Notice it says, to each according to his own ability. I didn't give to you according to his ability, or you according to her ability, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. Verse 18. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. Verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" Sounds great so far. Verse 24. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. "Well, I don't like that, Lord." That's what he's thinking. They doubled. I didn't do anything but dug a hole and buried mine. Now I got to give that 1 talent to the one that has 10, that has the most. "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance." Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Sounds pretty rough. Sounds pretty rough for that guy. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." This isn't just for funerals that we read. This is for now, when we're alive in our living days and what we're doing. We still have things to do. "Well done, good and faithful servant." Faithfulness is covered in both action and responsibility. The third guy did some action. He buried it in the ground, but he didn't take responsibility for his Lord's money. Faithfulness is covered in action and responsibility. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. If I get there. It says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Faithfulness does not grow weary. But if it does, it does not give up or quit. It endures. It perseveres. It overcomes. I'm going to read another thing out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. And it says, "This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Even if we are faithless," it says, "he remains faithful to us." We hear all the time people wander around going, "Lord, where were you when I went through this?" Same place he always was, sitting on the throne. Now, he might have been waiting for you to call him, say, "Lord, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. I've tried, but I can't. Lord, can you help me in this? Can I turn this over to you, Lord, and let you do it? And let you have your will in the midst of that? Rather than me trying to manipulate the situation or the outcome myself? God, can I just rely on you? Now back to Matthew chapter 25. In the end, I think that's the saddest thing of the men with the talents. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I'm thinking, man, cast out just because of us being lazy. Cast out just because we were being selfish. Whatever our justification, is, we have not been faithful in an area. You are worthy of it all. Could you imagine singing that? You are worthy of most of it. You are worthy of most of it. No. I exalt me. It doesn't fit. And it doesn't fit in our faith walk to exalt ourselves to you are worthy of most of it, but not all of it, because I have reasons, God. You've not been faithful in all things, he says. You will not be able to share in the rewards. We talked last week, ready or not, here I come. I wasn't ready for the whole shebang. I was ready to go down front. I got my salvation. I asked God into my heart. Oh, they told me if I do that, I'm going to heaven. Okay, I don't have to worry about hell now. Whew, okay. We're not invested, though. What happens when you're not invested? You don't reap in the rewards. You do not get the full blessing of the rewards. Man, this faith journey isn't just about our salvation going to heaven. That's the start of it. Oh, I'm going to tell you anyway. At the beginning of this year, I said, Lord, use me as an instrument. Uh-oh. Be careful when you ask God to use you as an instrument. He just might. He just might. I need you to get off your keister and come help the church do these things. Church universal, not prayer faith. He may say, hey, I need you to go into some places and talk to some people about things you're uncomfortable talking to them about. And you feel you're unqualified. Oh my gosh, look at this thing. Most of this is filled with people that thought they were unqualified. Lord, you can't use me. Lord, I can't talk well. Lord, I'm weak. I don't have an army. I've got a couple guys with me. Hey, I'll tell you what. You're going to lead an army, and you're not going to have thousands. You're going to have a couple hundred, but you're going to defeat the enemy that has thousands. Oh, by the way, I need you to rebuild the wall of the temple. Now, I know it's all crumbled down. It's been down for a long time. But I'm going to send you some papers and some helpers, and I need you to lead the congregation, and I need you to get them together, and we're going to rebuild the wall. We're going to protect our city. Oh, by the way, I need you to go out and to minister to these young people. Oh, I don't feel qualified. You're qualified. I need you. You're broken. I need you to tell people that broken crayons still color. Thank you, Eric, for that message, by the way. I'm telling you, it's a lifelong thing that sticks with me. Broken crayons still color. And I need you broken crayons to be used. And I want to put you back in the box, and I'm going to send you out. And you're going to paint this beautiful, beautiful artwork. Don't worry about it. I know what the artwork is, and when I'm done, it'll be beautiful, he says. But he says, I want to use you and you and you and you and you and you. Each one of you and I want to use you for kingdom work. In the beginning of that story, he said he gave each one according to his own ability. We're in the middle of starting point on Wednesday nights. We just started it 2 weeks ago. At the end, we'll do a gifts assessment. And each one of you will discover what your gifting area is, or the main one. And we'll talk about that. But man, don't take that gift. I'm going to bury it in the ground for safekeeping. And don't hide that. Use that gift for kingdom work. Use it in his church. Use it in your church. God, why do things happen to everybody else? It always, here comes the blessing bus, and it goes around me, it seems like, Lord. Why? Did you bury your talent in the ground? Did you keep from him? Did you deceive him? Ask yourself, how is my faith walk going, Lord? And again, when you ask, you've got to listen to the answer. And you've got to face the facts. If he says, it's a little sketchy. You know, we're on a rocky road right now, and I want you to be on this giant super freeway with plenty of lanes where there's no traffic jams and no log jams. You see, he says, I want each one of you to have the life that I came to give you, and that is the abundant life. Lord, how's my faith walk? Well, I don't know, Adam.
How is your Bible reading throughout the week?
Huh? Your Bible reading? You know. This thing. How's it going during the week, Adam?
When Eric and Adam preach, I flip to it. I look at it.
Okay, what about the other days? Well, if I go on Wednesday nights, I'll turn to it. I mean, on your own. How is your Bible reading going? Okay, God, I get it. Oh, by the way, Adam, how's your prayer life? Huh? Your prayer life. How is it? You know, that communication back and forth through me? Adam, how is it?
God, when things are really rough, I cry out to you.
Yeah, but I mean, what about when things are good, you know? Like a prayer of thanksgiving.
Well, God, you know how I feel about you.
Yeah, but I want you to say it.
I married you. Don't you know you love me?
Yeah, but you could say it once in a while.
I love you.
Oh, my. Wow, that sounded real, real sincere. That's what God thinks when we just pray those prayers of desperation. Why don't you give me some thanks? Lord, I'm so thankful. Thank you. Amen. Adam, how's your giving?
Had some bills come up and had some things that I wanted to buy, and I wanted to do this, that, for the house, for the car, for vacation, for the kids, for the grandkids, for myself. I mean, I need a new haircut, so I, you know, spent a lot of money to get my hair done. And Adam, it didn't cost that much.
How's your giving?
Well, Lord, you know my financial situation. Yes, and I'm trying to bless you. How is your giving?
My wife's greatest testimony is when I lost my job and we were struggling. She said, I'm going to pay the tithe check first. I said, you sure about that? I questioned that. What? She said, that's the first check we spend. And the Lord blessed us for that. For her faithfulness when I was weak. How's your serving? How's your serving? What do you mean? I get two scoops. My serving's great. What do you mean, how's my serving? No, I mean serving one another and those in need or people you know and don't know. How's your serving? How's your serving in the church going? What? You know, you're serving. Well done, good and faithful person. Oh, let me reread that. Well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus himself said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. Oh, man. And then it says we are his ambassador. So that means I'm his representative. So that means I've got to serve other people. Okay.
Okay, I get it, God. I need to step up in serving in some manner. Hey, Adam, how's your attendance? What? I show up to work every day. No, Adam, your church attendance. How is that? You know, sometimes it's one of my 2 days off during the week. And to get up at the crack of 10 is tough. And to be there by 10:30, it's tough. Guys, I get it. And I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about the church universal. Okay? But I'm telling you, it can be fulfilling. And by the way, this section right here, and this section right here, in this section right here, when you show up, it is a blessing to somebody else, I promise you. Your being here blesses people. And you may not think it does, but it does. You bless people when they see you. You bless people when they see you. You bless people when they see you. It's true. You think, well, nobody misses me. They miss you. Tim had to work last Sunday, was gone. I promise you, I missed him as I was over there trying to listen and hear and beat. And poor Susie's trying to keep rhythm with my rhythm. And Spencer, we missed you. David's out sick today. We miss his singing. When each one of us is gone, the body suffers. We're all a part of the body. That means we're made for one another. When you travel, we miss you. There's nothing wrong with being gone and traveling. We work sometimes and we're sick. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying that you are missed when you're gone. Why? Because you matter. Because you are part of the body. Ask yourself, how is your faith walk? How is my reading, my prayer life, my giving, my serving, my attending? One or more of these areas is lacking. I'm going to close with this as the band comes up. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 through 13. We read it last week, and it's the faithful church. And it says this, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. He says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, but you have kept my word. And you have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly, he says. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To those that are faithful, he protects and he elevates them. Amen. Let us pray.